From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan, Duran Martinez, celebrating 10 years of broadcasting this show across the Michigan Talk Network. So glad to have you here. Can you believe it's been 10 years? I can't either. That means for 10 years, we've been dealing with a lot of great people here in Michigan, a lot of good friends. We will talk to one of them here in a couple of minutes. Also want to thank our friends Darton Archery out of Hale, Michigan, one of our sponsors, DartonArchery.com. We provided, we took care of my good friend Mark Farner from formerly of Grand Funk Railroad. We put a Toxin 150 crossbow in his hand. He is like a little kid. He's ready for this bow season. And thanks to Darton for sponsoring this show. Otherwise, we would not have been able to do that. Also, our friends at Lucky Buck, lucky-buck.com. You use it as a mineral for antler growth throughout the course of the year. And now it's attraction time. So make sure you check the rules where you're at, because in Michigan, we have some things going on that you need to be aware of, and go to michigan.gov/DNR so you can find out exactly where and when you cannot use Lucky Buck deer mineral. But we enforce the fact that it is good stuff, and we use it where legal and 100% effective for us. We've been doing a great job with that. And thanks to Costa Sunglasses as well. So thank you so much. Appreciate everybody joining us. Now, back to that guy that's been hanging around with us for 10 years, and we haven't had to write him a check yet. David A. Rose joins me on the show. David, how are you, sir?
Well, now I sound old and cheap. I like it.
You like it. I knew you would. I knew you would. So for 10 years, we've been having random conversations, sometimes about fishing, and you know, we're going to continue that that thing here today.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll tell you what, I always said if I could take a couple months off during the year, which that ain't going to happen, but anyway, one would be in May, and the other would be kind of that, maybe that last week of September through the first 3 weeks of October, because there's so much fishing and hunting and this and that and everything else going on. This is why we live in Michigan, is the month of October, really.
You know, it is, too. I mean, it is a very sacred time for me, because I like to get out. Although the whitetail, I'll be honest with you, the whitetail hunting for me has been really dropped down on the ladder. I've yet to get a turkey in the fall. I have yet to take a Michigan black bear. And I have yet to be fulfilled with my... I've yet to be sated with waterfowl hunting. I haven't done enough of any of those yet.
Yeah, there's never enough time. That's one of the issues. I mean, you know, I've traveled all around the country and everything, and mm-hmm. you know, I've had some great fishing here or great whatever there, but it's limited, you know. And I mean, it's you know, you have to travel hours and hours to get to the lake. You know, it's hard when in our situation to say, now, which lake what do I want to go for, and then which lake do I want to go, and then, you know, well, what do I want to hunt, and what species, and yada, yada. So, yeah, our dilemma is just a little... It's not a bad dilemma to have.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's and it was funny because, as you know, as some of you know, I recently just got back from a 10-day trip to Alaska. My wife and I took our honeymoon cruise to Alaska, and I didn't go fishing. I wanted to go halibut fishing really bad, but the trip had got booked up, so I couldn't make it. But I did eat salmon each and every day I was there.
Oh, I'll tell you what, you know, speaking of dilemmas, you know, we're having the, you know, the issues with the Great Lakes salmon and stuff like that. But if anybody ever gets a chance to go out west with any of those Pacific salmon from, you know, right up the tip of the California coast all the way on up to Alaska, those fish are amazing in flavor. I mean, they've just been eating really cool things all their life, squid and krill and, you know, shrimp and all these, you know, and they've been marinating in salt water all their life, for goodness sake. So they're an amazing flavor.
You know what? I really did notice a big difference. The sockeye salmon, unbelievable. The smoked sockeye was absolutely unbelievable. We had a day that we went panning for gold. One day, you know, we went out panning in the morning, and then about an hour or 2 hours later, they had a big grill going with salmon on the grill and this sweet maple glaze, brown sugar glaze that went on the salmon with some baked beans with reindeer in it. Just an incredible, incredible feast.
Well, now I'm hungry. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome, because it's about that time. But, I mean, you can't say enough nice things about Alaska. However you get there, you need to go. And you know you've been.
Oh, yeah. Been there. You know, I spent 3 weeks in a row there. We rented the RV, did that. I mean, it was amazing that the things that I got to do from, you know, flying in De Havilland Otters, landing on glaciers, and, you know, doing flights, summer flights around Denali, and kayaking the icebergs of the Columbia Glacier, and, of course, the fishing. I caught, you know, I went up into the interior, went up into the Arctic Circle, caught grayling and all that kind of stuff, did the saltwater thing, rockfish and halibut and all that. It is definitely one of those places you have to go. Now, with that said, would I want to live there year-round? I don't know. I kind of dig Michigan for year-round everything.
Yeah, exactly. We can go just about anywhere we want around us. There's a lot of great everything just locally. But people, you know, everybody asks me, are you going to go salmon fishing? I'm like, why? I fish here in Michigan.
Right. But it definitely, you know, it's just fun to fish up there. I mean, the coho, which they call silvers, are just that. They're very silver fish when they're out there in the ocean. And, of course, so are the big kings, they call them out there, or what we say, Chinook. Yeah, like you said, the sockeye, the everything. And if you want to eat a fish, I'll tell you what, that I'm not foo-fooing the Great Lakes salmon
by
any means, but that diet had really, you notice the difference. We'll just put it that way.
And it was really funny, too. We were in Ketchikan, Alaska, walking on the near the pier there, and I looked down, and there's a sockeye just kind of swimming through the...
Right.
I'm like, wait a minute. What, really? Come on.
Well, that's a kind of neat thing. A lot of those ports, they'll actually stock fish, even though they don't have a river or creek system coming in. They'll stock salmon into those harbors, and those fish will come back there, and it creates a fishery for the locals and the tourists and stuff, too. So, like, when we were in Valdez, I mean, not known as a salmon fishing mecca or anything like that, but come to find out, it's where all the locals from Anchorage, which is, well, locals, it's like a seven-hour drive, you know, mm-hmm. but the locals, and you just stand right there in the harbor, and there's silver salmon just swimming about, and people are catching them offshore and everything like that, and yeah, it's really cool.
Now, you know, these excursions on the ship, I will warn you, are not cheap if you book them from the ship. But if you know your ports, you know when you'll be in there. There are places right there on the dock that you can probably book and save yourself $100 or more. And the other thing I'll warn you about is when you go to shore, there's a lot of, you know, it seems rather odd that Alaska would have a lot of jewelry stores and watch stores and things of that nature. Well, just know that they're owned by the cruise companies.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, there's things you really need to watch out for as a tourist.
Right. Now, see, I have not done the cruise thing. Mm-hmm. And so we did not go into any cruise ports. Now, I've had friends and stuff that, you know, once their cruise was done, they spent another week in Alaska, rented the RV and stuff. And there is a noticeable difference. And when you go to those port cities, where towns, villages, whatever, where the cruise ships come in, yes, it can be, I almost call it Disney-esque, you know.
It is.
Well, you know, buy a watch, buy this, buy that. Now, the areas that my wife and I were at, that was not the case. You know, Valdez was, you know, you're lucky to find anything. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, it's a working man's town, that kind of thing. So it's not resorty, we'll just call it. But yeah, definitely, if you want the more wild Alaska, well, yeah, go to where the cruise ships do not.
Yeah, you know, and I'll say this, though. I'll say Skagway was very nice. Because it still had that mining town charm, and the fact that people were just normal, you know, like the normal Alaska crowd.
Right.
So that was probably my favorite stop of the whole place. And there was a new place that it was Icy Strait Point that was all locally owned everything. So they have not been sullied by the cruises yet. They're still waiting on that. But we're going to talk more with David A. Rose. There's a couple of hints for your Alaskan tour if you want to go. I took my Costas with me, too. Believe me, they were in hand and used when we were looking. So stick around. We're going to talk more with David A. Rose here. Listen to the 10th year of Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Oh, my gosh, my baby.
Dodge. She's all decked out.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler. Old boy's feeling like a dog on a collar. Keeping that chain pulled tight. Waiting on Saturday night.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez. Listening to us on the Michigan Talk Network, 10 years of Wild Michigan. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you that listened to the podcast via our website at wildmichiganradio.com, that have picked it up through iTunes or whatever random place that happens to carry Wild Michigan. I don't know who those people are, but I'm very thankful for the fact that they're getting this show out to you, the listener, and have been doing so for 10 years. And if you want to check out our website, that's probably in need of severe updating. Go to wildmichiganradio.com, and you can check out our links to places like Lucky Buck Deer Mineral as well. Now, back with David A. Rose, outdoor writer, fishing guide up in the Traverse City area. David, October is magical for fishing. Right now, we've got some days, we've had some days this week near 80 degrees. And yeah. I don't know if that's slowing the steelhead run down or the coho or whatever's coming in the rivers right now. And Frank, I'll be quite honest with you. I almost have no clue as to what's going on, as to what's open right now.
Well, just about everything is open. You know, with September 30th, for an example, most of the creeks and rivers that are trout streams, they closed. So to protect, you know, the spawning of the browns and the brookies and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So that's kind of out. Also, you know, parts of Lake Michigan, the lake trout season did close in the Great Lakes, in parts of Lake Michigan, the northern part, and stuff like that. But with that said, there's just about everything else you can do. Now, of course, we mentioned salmon. And, you know, the last couple of years, the salmon numbers are definitely down in the Great Lakes. There's been less stock. There's been just a food shortage out there for them. It's been really tough. And, you know, that run, as you and I speak right now, I help out at the Traverse City Weir, the weir there where we harvest salmon and stuff like that. Numbers are definitely up with Chinook and coho, but it's, you know, of course, nothing like the heydays, but it's better than we saw last year. But those runs are starting to, they're at their peak right now. They're going to start petering out, but there's so much more. I mean, if you love to catch smallmouth bass, this is a great month to do it. Absolutely great month. You know, they can be anywhere from the edges of these deep water drop-offs and stuff like that adjacent to shallow water or right up in those shallows. And, of course, the walleye fishing, it gets even better as November gets closer.
Absolutely.
Once the lakes turn over. Now, we are dealing, like you said, we have the warm water scenario going on right now. I've never seen water this warm this late. A lot of lakes are still in the 60s, mid-60s. Right now, they should be in the low 50s. I mean, but so, yeah, that's changed a few things, you know, and what the lakes have to flip, meaning that water churns and the temperature will be the same top to bottom for a while. Right
sure.
now, the warm water is still on the surface, and there's a thermocline. So once that happens, the walleye fishing really takes off. And I'll tell you, I'm going to try and do it on Monday. My buddies are really starting to catch some real nice perch on the inland lakes up here. You know, and there's all sorts of different lakes with perch in them. So I'm looking forward to some pecan-encrusted perch.
Ah, see, now you're making me hungry. I had 2 weeks of seafood. No, I don't care. I could have a month of seafood and not be full of it. David A. Rose is joining me right now. Find him at wildfishing.com if you'd like to book yourself a fishing trip. And he'd be happy to take care of you up in that area of his woods. And David, when you know, you talked about that turnover. You talked about all, you know, the water. How are the water levels? Because we have had so much rain September, and we've had a little bit already come October. That is it making it difficult, or has been making it difficult for the guys like myself and the gals that like to go out and wade the river for the salmon?
I'll tell you what, water levels are definitely up compared to what they have been. Now, here in the Northwest Lower, we had drought situation this summer, so things had dropped substantially. It still wasn't record low or anything like that. It wasn't even really considered low water, but it was going back down to, I don't know what normal is, but okay, we'll say normal. It's definitely had some rain. So the rivers and stuff around here, there's plenty of water in them. They're not at dangerous levels, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not over your head, that kind of thing, but there is some substantial current And you just take a waiting staff with you, and you just got to be careful. You know, go with a buddy, and just be careful not to wade through a hole up your chest or something like that, so you don't get washed out. And that's any time, you know, that kind of thing. So, but water levels are okay. Guys and gals are getting out on the rivers, and they're catching salmon, and the steelhead are just starting to show up too. So there's plenty of water.
Now, for steelhead, you know, we've always been very effective with kind of you know, bouncing the bottom, kind of letting that just that weight bounce along with a with, you know, some eggs and maybe an egg sucking leech fly behind them. Any other tips for people just getting out and maybe explain better, you know, what we're doing?
Well, you know, what's really become popular in the last decade? Oh, about time you started your radio show.
Exactly.
And we were doing a lot of the diehard steelhead and whatnot anglers were doing it a long time before that, but bobber fishing. So you're taking a float, you're taking a Balsa bobber, you know, like a Carlisle bobber or something like that, or some kind of a, you know, what one meant for doing steelhead fishing in the rivers. And you cast out and you're letting your spawn or whatever your fly, you know, drift near bottom, but not on bottom. So that's really popular. You save a lot of terminal tackle that way. You're not, you know, getting stuck in rocks and logs and this and that much. And you're able to just get a really nice drift. So that's one of the things to do is, you know, get some fresh spawn if you have it, or, you know, go to your local tackle dealer and they've got spawn that's treated up and stuff like that. Stick a spawn bag on a number 10 octopus style hook, they call it. It's just like a single salmon egg hook. And you've got a little bit of weight above the hook, so that spawn bag's down in the strike zone, yet your float is up top, and you know, cast upstream and let it work naturally down with the current. And it's pretty simple to know when you get a hit. I mean, you watch that bobber just all of a sudden go down. You know, it's not like bluegill fishing where you might see that little nibble type hit and the thing's wiggling. It's usually a defined hit. So that's probably one of the easiest and most effective ways to catch trout and salmon these days is with the float.
Yeah, you know, about 10 years ago is when I learned that method, when I first started going out with my friend Captain Michael Tillman over at Tillman Outfitters. You know, I watched that for the first time. I'm like, wow, that looks easy. Why the hell am I overthinking things?
Yeah. Well, you know, as anglers, we all tend to overthink things. I mean, you know, you should see my boat. My boat is the inexpensive part. You know, all the electronics I've got on there and everything like that. They're all tools and whatnot. I don't, you know, it makes you think back to how we caught fish without it all, but... But definitely, we, don't overthink things. You know, just anytime you're fishing in a river this time of year and you want trout or salmon, you just want to make that presentation look as natural as possible. You want it going the same speed as the current. You want it not slower. You don't want it to go faster. You know, you get your line caught up in a rip current there, and it'll pull it down faster. It's just all about, you know, keeping it natural, keeping it with the flow.
Absolutely. David A. Rose joins us here on Wild Michigan. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. There is a direct link to David on our website. Look up our Meet the Experts page, as David has been joining us here for the past 10 years and giving us a lot of great information. Real quickly, got about a minute left in this segment. David, perch, you mentioned. Fall seems to be the time.
Fall is the time. You know, throughout the summer, those fish were scattered out throughout the weeds, or they were up suspended in the water column with the walleyes and that, eating bugs and all that kind of thing. Well, now they're starting to school up. So, again, we were mentioning electronics. If you're lucky enough to have some electronics on your boat, you get on the water, look for those schools of perch. Get out there. You can jig them. You can use live bait and catch fish.
All right. Fall isn't just in time for hunters. Anglers, take advantage of those empty lakes and rivers, man. We're going to come back. Got lots of stuff to talk about here. Nick Munt is going to join us. Make sure you do, too. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State. Being brought to you by Darton Archery, makers of the Toxin 150 and the 150 SS crossbows. Man, bow season is here. People are getting out. And thanks to Vernon Walker, a good friend of mine, posting his big buck that he got out in Grand Ledge on our Facebook page. If you've got deer with your Darton or deer with whatever you use, by all means, send it to us. You can send it to our email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com or just send it to us via Facebook at Wild Michigan. So we've got our Facebook page that is connected to our website and everything else. And getting out in the fall, and like most people in Michigan, people wait to the last minute to, you know, like November 14th to sight in their gun, or September 30th to make sure their bow's all tuned up right. Then we go into panic mode. You know, usually having a little bit of an idea as to, you know, having a heads up of something. I mean, it's been on the calendar for a year. You knew it was there, but sometimes you want to do something and you don't know. You don't have the information you need, such as maybe stepping up and going into an ATV or a UTV for hunting season. Now, normally I don't think October 1st is the time, but then again, this is why I asked my friend Scott Adams from US 27 Motorsports. Scott, is the big push on right now for UTVs and ATVs, or is that mainly in the summertime?
Actually, the number one time of the year for ATVs and UTVs is during the fall, when you have the color tour added to the hunting season, people doing a lot of property cleanup, yard cleanup with leaves and everything like that coming down. The UTV just gives you an extra tool, a very useful tool that can move that around. It has its dump box on the back of it, so it's pretty easy from that standpoint. So, yeah, right now is one of the prime times of people purchasing. And even though bow season starts October 1st, the majority of hunters in the state of Michigan, from my experience, are gun hunters. And so this is a prime time that they're in the store looking to make a decision on a machine, whether it be an ATV or a UTV.
Now, here's the question. I'm like, I have zero clue. You know, you can show me the pretty machines on the TV and everything else, but it really doesn't do much for me, because I really don't know what I'm looking for. I may know brand-wise what I want to stick with, but let's take into consideration maybe a side-by-side that I really don't know what the hell I'm looking for. You know, and how do I know what I want? Maybe I want something, but I need, there's that word, need something else.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, in our process here, it's the right thing to do is to find out what you're going to use it for. If it's primarily for hunting, you know, you might be looking for camouflage. You may be looking for quiet. You know, you may be looking for different things based on your use. And if it's a trail use, you know, you might want one that looks really nice, a painted color, you know. There's multiple choices, from sizes to colors to, you know, options of aluminum rims and things like that. And each one of it, just how are you going to use it? And someone comes to me and says, I'm just going to use it for hunting. That's all I'm going to use it for. Then from that standpoint, we're going with a camo one. We're kind of leading them in that direction. They may say they don't like camo. A green or a forest green that is out there works perfect for that as well. But it is asking you the questions to try to determine your use as to why we would, you know, give you a specific option.
And anybody says they're going to use it for hunting only, I'm going to tell you right now, they're a liar. Because they don't know they're lying, but they're lying. Because once you get in behind the handlebars of an ATV or in a UTV, it's going to be a little difficult to step away from once you get that feel. And then you go, you know, this is when you really need to think. Look, you're going to pay for something year-round. Are you really only going to use it 2 weeks out of the year?
Well, I think the majority of people always look for that reason to make that final buying decision. And hunting season is a tendency for us to go hog wild as hunters to spend that money. We might be tight all year long, but we're going to spend $1,000 here or there just at a drop of a hand to get that buck, to get out in the woods, to enjoy Michigan's outdoors. And so, you know, once you have it, you absolutely find purpose-driven reasons to have it. You can get a UTV with a plow on it, with a winch on it, to use it as a plow vehicle for your driveway, help your neighbors out in those circumstances. The dump box on a UTV or a side-by-side machine is so convenient, typically in the 4-foot by 4-foot width and depth is about a foot deep, that you can use it to put your Kirby in it. Mm-hmm. To take it down to the end of the driveway. People come to me and say, I've used it taking just side roads, country roads, and just look for deer and drive around with my wife. And we have coffee, or I drive over to the neighbor's house and we have coffee over there. You know, it's a tremendous tool. It's an investment that you make that I have had 90%+ of people who've purchased it say, I never realized that I would use this more than I use, you know, anything besides my car getting back and forth to work. It is such a useful piece of equipment, and they've never really come to me and said, you know what, I spent that money I probably shouldn't have. They always say, hey, what more can I put on this to make it more convenient for more uses, like a plow, like a cab system, like a heater inside of it, like a windshield or windshield wiper. You know, I mean, they come bare, and you get to create whatever you want to out of it from that point.
Scott Adams is joining us here from US 27 Motorsports in St. John's. You can check him out, us27motorsports.com. And Scott's a longtime friend of mine. And, you know, we had this conversation earlier in the week that I don't know, you know, about side-by-sides. I mean, I see that they're the big thing right now. And you know, their utilitarian uses are fantastic. But how easy are they to operate? And is somebody going to need some kind of class for this thing?
Well, I think that's the nicest thing about the UTV and really why it is dominating the market today and kind of pushed the ATV to the side. Although the ATV sales are still strong, the UTV is just like a car. Anyone who's 16 years and older who has the experience of driving a car, you put your foot on the brake, you turn the ignition key, it has a shift selector and a steering wheel, and you just drive it like a car would. And the very convenient thing, the best thing I notice about it in using it out in the woods, is it's so light. The vehicle doesn't tear up your lawn, your property, your hunting property, the areas that you want to go into. And so if you're trying to drive a truck back in, you know, sloppy a little bit, you could easily get stuck just because of the weight of the truck. And so ease of operation, in about a 15-minute time frame of me explaining the vehicle's, you know, what all the features are, someone can use it for the rest of their life and never have a question about how to operate it.
Yeah, and that's a good thing too. I mean, safety, of course, they are built safe. They have the, you know, the surrounding cages on them, and again, like you said, you can add things to them as you go. I mean, you don't have to do it all at one time unless you really want to. That's up to you. But there are things you can add, and I want to talk to you about that here in a minute. Scott is joining us from US 27 Motorsports in St. John's. We're going to be up against a break here, Scott, so hang on for me if you would. And we're going to talk more. We're going to find out what you have to offer people. What am I looking for? And here's the thing. I know right offhand that I'm going to pick a brand out, and it'll probably be the most expensive one because I like what they do, and that's Can-Am. So... Am I right?
Well, they do have the best fit and finish and most horsepower of any vehicle out there. And so, yeah, definitely an awesome machine.
All right. Well, see, there I go. There I go. Beer budget, you know, champagne taste. I know what I like. US27motorsports.com is where you can find Scott Adams. We're going to talk more in the next hour of the show. We've got Nick Munt coming up. He's going to be in Lansing, and I'm going to be joining him at the Gander Mountain Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. They're going to have all kinds of Detroit Lions greats. Dean Rojas, Pro Bass Angler, is going to be there. The brand new Gander Mountain store opening up. We're going to talk with Nick Munt in the next hour. Find us on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Scott from US 27 Motorsports giving us a little insight on side-by-sides. And we're going to probably do a little bit more with Scott here down the road. We had some schedule things come up here, and we are filling the time, rightfully so, with our good friend Captain Jeremy Ullman from miguideservice.com. You find him online at just that, miguideservice.com. And he does about everything. Doing the walleye, he does steelhead, doing some woodcock and grouse hunting right now, and of course duck season opening up this weekend in the southern portion of the zones. And he's already been doing some duck hunting. Joins me on the phone right now. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you, Duran?
Not as good as you. Okay, I'm not as good as you. I'm just going to flat out admit it. And now, mind you, you've had a how was your spring? Let's talk real quick because you guide in the spring. You Detroit River walleye.
Yep, how was your spring? Great. Walleye fishing was a little bit slower this year than most years, but later in the season it got pretty good. And then I went to muskie fishing on Lake St. Clair once that opened, and smallmouth fishing on Lake St. Clair. That was a good spring this year.
Good. Now you do some steelhead in the spring as well?
No, I really don't do any steelhead in the spring.
Okay.
Mostly muskie fishing on Lake St. Clair.
That's right.
Smallmouth and walleye.
That's right. It teeth. Lots of teeth. and good eating with the walleye too, man. I love Detroit River fishing in the spring, and it's just such a great time to see so many people out on the water, and we're all chasing the same thing, and it's just a huge influx of fish coming in through that body of water that it's almost, you know, even if nobody else is catching, there's ways to find them, and that's what's so great about the Detroit River.
There are. Yeah, it's a great fishery.
Now, we are into fall, but before we get to what's going on, what's opening up this weekend, you were off guiding. Where were you off guiding at?
In Alaska, on the Naknek River, mostly, at the top of Bristol Bay.
Gosh, that was beautiful. Now, you know I just got back from Alaska on the outer portions. We did the 10-day cruise, so it's not exactly as cool as what you did, but it was, believe me, I have such a newfound love for that state. It's not even funny. Now, what were you fishing? You were fishing salmon up there?
Yeah, mostly salmon, big rainbow trout, one of the best rainbow trout rivers in the world.
Really?
Northern pike, but we get all five species of salmon.
Wow. Now, as far as eating salmon goes, I'm sure you've probably done a lot of it. What is your favorite up there to eat?
The fresh sockeye salmon is about the best.
Okay, that was something I wanted to hear because I ate a lot of sockeye when I was in Alaska, and for some reason there was something about that fish I didn't understand why it was so good, but I'm glad it wasn't just me.
Yeah, there it's only salmon. It's up to feed on like and stuff
mm-hmm.
By filtering it, not like a king salmon where they bait fish and other minnows and squid, and the sockeye are strictly just plankton and filter feeders.
Nice. Well, that explains a lot right there, man. A good diet, so to speak, makes for a good diet. Now yeah. you're getting ready. You are actually doing some grouse hunting right now. Where are you guiding? What areas of the state are you guiding for grouse and woodcock? I've seen the pictures, and that's some upland game that I really haven't gotten into too much.
Yeah, mostly in the Frankfort area, Benzie County.
How's that been so far this year?
It's been excellent this year. It's been a great year. There's tons of birds around. There's a bunch of woodcock around.
Now, when you're guiding, when you get first-time people out woodcock hunting, is it a shock to them to see how erratic and how funny those things fly?
It is, yeah. Most people have a very difficult time actually hitting them.
We've seen those before. They've come through when we were in the wood blinds. I know they like kind of marshy, kind of wet areas. And we had our duck blind buzzed several times by woodcock, and it's just so cool to see them fly.
It is. Yeah. They fly more like bats than birds.
Exactly. Now, when you're hunting woodcock, what are you using for a shotgun? I know they're very small birds, and a direct hit with something, you know, very big could be kind of devastating to them.
Yeah, I typically use a 20-gauge. You could get away with a 20-gauge or 410, but I mostly use a 20-gauge.
And for grouse, are you using the same thing, or are you using like a 12 with some small shot?
I do. No, I use a 20-gauge mostly. Later, in the late season, in the winter, when all the leaves are down and there's snow on the ground, sometimes I'll pull out the 12 to try and make a little bit longer distance shots. But this time of year, with the thick leaves and the thick cover, I like the 20-gauge with an open choke.
Yeah, and people, if you've never done it, keep in mind that the grouse are faster and it will scare the hell out of you. Woodcock are loud but very erratic, and not carrying your 9-pound Browning Auto 5 is a great idea.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I did that. We did that one time. We went up north grouse hunting for the first time, and I'd never grouse hunted before, and I never hated my favorite gun so much in my life.
Yeah, the lighter the better. The lightest gun you can find.
That's awesome. Captain Jeremy Ullman from MIGuideService.com is joining us right here. Now, is there still time to book with you for grouse and woodcock? Are we coming close to the end of the season here in October?
Yes. No, there's still time. Woodcock season closes November 7th. That's the last day you can hunt woodcock. But grouse runs up until the deer firearm season.
Okay.
Shuts down for the deer firearm season and opens back up till January 1st.
Wow, that's cool. Get the whole month of December to book, and I'm not sure what we're going to do for snow. Last year, did you guide woodcock last year and grouse?
I did. Yes, I did.
How was your December? Because we really didn't get a lot of snow.
No, it made it nice for hunting. It's definitely a lot easier to walk through no snow or a couple inches of snow than a couple feet.
Yeah, and you didn't have to be terribly bundled up, because when you're walking like that, you sweat, and you will sweat.
You do.
And you don't want to be, you know, overdressed for things like that. Now, let's talk about that a little bit when we get into maybe want to book a hunt with you for the late season portion, when we are, you know, looking at a late season hunt like that. What do you suggest we pack? I mean, depending on weather, let's talk about maybe a cooler winter. What do you suggest we take?
A good pair of waterproof boots is essential. You want to keep your feet dry when walking through that snow or rain or whatever the conditions might be, next to rivers or mucky water bottoms. A good pair of brush pants to protect you from pickers and thorns and everything out there in the woods. And then I would definitely suggest dressing in layers, with base layers and heavier, thicker, maybe a Gore-Tex jacket to protect you from the snow or rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found too, and I'm going to say right now, it's expensive, but if you find something with merino wool, because it's so light, it can be breathable, it can take moisture away from your body, and it packs really easily. I'm going to warn you, it's not cheap. Merino wool products are not cheap, but we have used several different brands, and all of them have proved to be fantastic. And they dry out fast, too.
They do, yeah. I just ordered a bunch of new layering outfits in that merino wool. I love them.
Yeah. And you're praying for a lot more people to book guiding trips, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that'll pay for all that merino you had to buy. But, yeah, no kidding. It's no joke, man. We've talked to Icebreaker. We've talked to some other companies here on the show, and it's really essential. I mean, you cannot. Wool is a great product, but the merino is by far the pinnacle on that. Now, miguideservice.com is your website. They can find you on Facebook. There's a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. You had talked to me about the duck opener this weekend, and I'm glad you did, because I completely blanked. South Zone opening up this weekend?
Yes, it does.
Oh, my gosh. That means I actually get to go out and shoot my guns. It's been a while. But you've been doing a lot of it, and you've got hunts open. The week's actually during the week looks best for most hunts, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, my weekend's still up generally pretty quick, but I still have quite a few days during the week.
All right, now real quickly, let's talk about diver duck season, long tails. That coming up as well. You going to take some folks out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love hunting those long tails. They're a beautiful bird. Everyone loves to get mounts, too. I just got a couple mounts back this week.
I saw that. Gorgeous looking ducks. Some call them old squaw still. Some call them long tails, whatever they are. You want to hunt them, you can call Captain Jeremy Ullman. Make sure that you tell him we sent you. MIGuideService.com. Jeremy, appreciate you joining us, man.
Yes, thanks, Duran. Looking forward to hunting with you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will be chasing longtails because I have room on the wall. I want them bad. Appreciate awesome. You joining us. Looking forward to talking to you, Jeremy. Thank you so much. MI Guide Service can be found on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, as well as our friends at Lucky Buck, Darton Archery, and Costa Sunglasses. 10 years of Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.